Everyone is looking for relationships. Point being is that the nature of the soul is to be interactive, and that interaction should generate an experience that is pleasurable. Without generating that, one basically will feel any kind of interaction is not valuable. So the idea being is that one is looking in any kind of situation, in any type of interaction, that it will be positive, will move things forward. So then if we look at this, so since it's something so important, we should actually know what is this science, how relationships are working. To get any result on anything, then there must be an action. Right? If there's no action, it won't give a result, right? All actions are generated because there is, all results are generated because there's an activity. No result just happens on its own. Something has to happen. There has to be some kind of movement, some kind of interaction, some movement like this has to be there. So, but to have an interaction, to have some activity, that activity has to take place in a particular situation. And if that situation works, it'd be close to both. For an interaction to take place, it will happen in a situation. Right? If nothing happens, not in some situation. So the situation then, one has to govern what's appropriate. Right? What will work in that situation? Because a particular situation has particular options for action and result. Right? Not all actions can happen in any situation. Right? So it's like if one's at the house, the child starts, like here we had here, the child starts crying. It's a home. The situation is a home environment. So as soon as the child starts crying, no matter what adults are there, all the attention turns to the child. And it's not a problem. It's appropriate. Everyone's comfortable with that. But like in this situation, it's a public gatherings for the basis of knowledge. Then when the kid starts crying, even though the kid deserves attention, it's not going to get the attention of everybody present. Right? It's because the situation is different. Situation's different. Therefore, it completely changes what activities can be performed, therefore what results can be gained. So these three elements always have to be understood. What's the environment? In that environment, what are your possibilities? And therefore, what are your possible results? So if you want a specific result, you have to see that the activity that's being performed will get you that result, and that activity is being performed in an appropriate environment. Make sense? So in the Sanskrit, then this is sambandhavideya prayojana, otherwise known as relationship, process, and result. A particular relationship is there between you and others. It includes the situation. Within that, you can perform certain activities. Those activities then will give you a particular result. So if you look at any relationship that's not going properly, right? Or any relationship that is going properly means these things are all being properly considered. A situation that's not going proper then would mean that something is not correct here. The situation is wrong, the activity is wrong, the goal that you expect is wrong. Otherwise, there won't be a difficulty. So the Vedic literature, then, is all being based on trying to establish who you are, who others are, what are the various situations you can interact, and what are the various results one can expect. Right? Because one may desire so many things. One may think I could fly, but it doesn't necessarily mean it happens. You know, I should be powerful, rich, famous. It doesn't happen. Because there's not the proper combination of these things. Of course, there's the element is of karma. You perform a good act, you get a good result. You don't perform a good act, you don't get a good result. So that may have some effect, but that is affecting the situation. That's all, it's affecting the situation. So the Vedic literatures that are defining, if we understand who we are, then we know how to act. Otherwise, if we don't know who we are, how are we going to understand who anyone else is? Right? It's very important. We don't know who we are, what we can do. You know, what is our physical capacity, our mental, emotional capacity? What is our intellectual capacity? Who are we as individual souls? What is its nature? What is the nature of the soul? We understand this for ourselves, then we can understand it for others. We don't understand it for ourselves. Very hard to understand it for others. So when you can understand yourself, therefore you can understand others, then you can understand how to act. Otherwise, most of the time, we may have difficulties in this. Okay, so let us say we're at work. So, we don't necessarily like this work, so we just kind of do whatever basically needs to get done. And we find that a boss doesn't like us so much, so that adds to us not really liking to be at work. But if we check, if we think about it, so, and we don't necessarily get the promotion, we don't necessarily get the different facilities, and that makes us even more think this is pretty useless. But then, if we look at it, we're not getting results quite what we want. But that's because we're not actually performing the activities that are suitable for the situation. We're not understanding the situation, right? The boss thinks we're there to do a job, right? Someone who does a good job, they notice. Someone who doesn't do a good job, they don't notice. So we have a misunderstanding of our place there, misunderstanding of the environment. Therefore, our actions are not that appropriate for the environment, therefore we're not getting a good result. We understand the boss wants you to do a job, you do the job nicely, then they like you, so that good job means you get results that you're looking for. Make sense? Like this, you can look at anything. You know, you have a friend, right? So, but it doesn't always go so nicely. Certain occasions they like you around, certain occasions they don't like you around. So then, one would check into it. What are these? Why would they like us around? Why wouldn't they like us around? So if we understand the nature of friendship, means it's you're dealing with equals. So sometimes it's about you, sometimes it's about them. So if that's the nature, that is seen as equal, when it is the situation where it's about you, it's like that, then they're happy. But if it's some situation where they feel it's something that they need to get done and they need to be involved, and you still want it to be about you, then they have to do those activities without you. Right? Because you're not understanding actually the nature of the relationship. Therefore, the action you perform isn't correct, so you don't get the right result. But if it's a situation where it can be about you, you act about yourself, you get a good result. So then you'll say, well, they're not so consistent as a friend. And in one sense, you could say yes. Because in their mind, you're only partially a friend. Because when they don't mind it being about you, they're friends. They see you as equals. When it's something they need, then you're not a friend. Because you don't think of anyone else but yourself. That makes sense? That's a friend. Friend will be, you need something, they're there. You know, they had some other plans. They were thinking, yeah, hey, we'll go do this and that. But then something happens and then, you know, some problem comes up. So then you don't just go and leave them. You take care of their problem. Right? That's a friend. So in other words, that ability to be able to adjust for each other's needs. Right? You know, that's friendship. Right? You have a parent, then a parent is the senior, child's the junior. So then it needs to be, the child needs something, parent has to take care. No one else can take care, right? The kid can't take care. So they're dependent on you taking care. So then you need to take care. So that parent who will always take care of the child, then the relationship will go nicely. The child will feel comfortable. The child will feel secure. But if you sometimes take care, sometimes don't take care, depending on what you feel like, then the child won't feel secure. So the relationship will not be very strong. You won't get the good result. Right? For a conjugal relationship, then the element of there is intimacy, of closeness. So it includes all the other flavors. So if one is able to keep the other one as, you know, the focus of your attention, then it works very nicely. If the focus is so many other places, it won't work very nicely because it's more close. Right? Friendship, you know, you're an individual, they're an individual. And where it's common, then you do things together. Where it's not common, you don't. Right? You know, let's say you're a friend, you go skiing, okay? So that's where you're friends. Your friend's based around that. So when it's skiing time, then you're together. When it's not skiing time, you do whatever you do. Right? Makes sense. But parents, kids are always there. Conjugal relationship, the partner's always there. So it's an established thing. How does this work? So the Vedas are describing what is the nature of each position, who are we, so that we know how to work. But even we have all these things, ultimately is who are we as the soul. Because in the soul, if we don't understand the relationship with God, then it doesn't matter, even you deal very nicely in this lifetime, there'll be a dissatisfaction because life ends. Right? Situations change. So there's always the problem of satisfaction. Right? Soul being eternal doesn't really appreciate temporary situations. Right? So one must act in such a way, since the material world is made up of temporary situations, you deal with those in comparison or connection with the eternal, or with the Lord. Then, besides the temporary situation working nicely, then one can get the permanent result of relationship with Godhead. Right? One can get that permanent result. So one should do them both at once. Deal properly while one's here, but deal with what was here in connection with the Supreme Lord. Then the soul can be satisfied. Otherwise, one won't be. Even if it goes great here, still it ends. Right? It still ends. And so, the endings are never great. Right? Endings, because it's not the way things should be. Relationships aren't supposed to end. In the material world, they do. So it's a problem. So one has to be able to combine this element of dealing with the mundane at the same time dealing with the spiritual. Because the soul is the spiritual. Body is temporary. Mind's temporary. But the soul is eternal. This is a very broad topic, so if there's any questions, we can get more specific. Yes. A boy to become a man. So the question is this, in a previous discussion we had, we were discussing about how that when in understanding this principle of relationship as children grow into adults, then there's the environment of being able to appreciate the broad range of the relationships, how relationships are functioning, how one's one position. That one must be in a situation that will create an awareness of this. Especially for the boys. Girls, of course, have to be aware, but generally that's what they're good at, is being aware of everything. But boys, the tendency is they're only aware of just what they're into at the point, at the present. You know, they focus on one thing, that's what they do. When they're doing something else, they do that. To be able to develop that understanding or sensitivity to others, without it being a weakness, but being a strength, then one needs to be out of the environment. The boys need to be, for some time, out of the environment where they're at the house, where they're at the home. But that doesn't mean they're independent, just do whatever they like. They're out of the house and working under someone who knows something and can guide them somewhere. So being in that kind of environment, then they start to become aware of the environment. Otherwise, for the young man, if he's at home, he's generally not aware of the environment. Right? His mother, I mean, since he's small, he's never taken care of the laundry or cleaned the house or picked up or washed the dishes or cooked or any of that. His mother did that. So as he grows up, the tendency is the boy will never become aware of such things. So he thinks it just happens automatically, or that's what ladies do, and that's just the way it is. And also is because he's there, and being the child in the family, as we mentioned before about the parental relationship, the parents' attention is always on the kids, then this young adult will think that he is the center of attention. That's just the way it's supposed to be. Everything happens automatically, and he's the center of attention. Problem is wives and daughters and sons don't see it that way. They feel that they must very much be part of the scene. So if you have a man who's grown up, never noticed how actually the home works, then he'll be so self-centered, he'll feel whatever he's doing, then that's enough. He'll never understand the relationships of interacting with his wife and children. So he's saying in traditional cultures, there's always that situation in which the boys are separated from the family and they go do something that's not in the home environment. So that means they go out with the men and do farming, or you know, they do hunting, or they go, you know, build the barn or something. So they're in an environment where it's just men and they actually have to be part of it. They're not. It's not about them, it's about that work, it's about getting done. It's about cooperating with the others. Right? Because at home, you know, he wants to, you know, hammer the nails or saw the board, great. But it's just him sawing the board. Nobody else is involved. But if he doesn't feel like it, then he doesn't have to do it. Because the moment we say, oh no, it's all right, you don't have to do it. But if you're out with the men, and they need this board saw, otherwise they can't put it on the wall, you have to saw it. It's not about you, it's about getting the work done. It's about cooperating with the others. You're sawing the board, they're doing something else and all that, and this way then the barn is being made. You understand? So they become aware that there are other people, and they have to please other people. And they have to cooperate with other people and be aware of, to be able to please someone, you have to be aware what it is they're, what it is they're wanting. Right? So without that, then it'll be very difficult for the man to take care of a family. Kids will be a disturbance because they need attention. Wife is a servant, she needs attention. So he's just happy doing what he wants. But at the same time, is he doesn't actually know how to cooperate with other men either. So only if they're, you know, something, they go to a bar, what do? If you drink, you talk about the girls, but they don't talk about themselves. So the men go to a bar and sit around and reveal their mind, what they're feeling, and, you know, what's their plans in life, and how it's going, and if their life is going. No, they just talk, sit around and talk about, hey, check that one. You know, that's all they do. They're saying the boys sit around in the corner, you know, what are they doing? Checking out the girls. So they're not actually, even though they think they're friends, they're not actually really friends. Because friend means between one living, sentient living entity and another. But what it is the two of you, your common point is something else. You know, or you're watching a movie, but you don't interact, it's just the movie. So they have to do something. They have to go to a movie, go out, you know, drive around in the motorcycles, go do something crazy, go kick over some garbage cans, you know, do something. But they don't actually, can't sit down and actually interact as friends. Does that make sense? So unless one learns to be conscious of other living entities, how they think, what they need and all that, then it will be very difficult actually to relate to anyone in life. And you'll always wonder, why isn't they don't take care of me and just do what I want like my mommy did? Because that's all they know. Does that make sense? Who said? He said modern culture. That's Plato. But Harry doesn't agree. In reality, you've seen. So are you wondering if there can be a platonic relationship between a boy and a girl? Generally speaking, no. You do get occasionally. Generally, it's more like the girl next door. So you, so from small, you grow up together, you're just friends doing things. So that could grow up like that. It could. But even that, a lot of times, as one matures, it goes to somebody tries to take it to another level. But if they didn't grow up together, then it'll be much harder for that. You know what I'm saying? It's the general tendency is, you know, male, female, it'll be a conjugal relation. You know, I mean, there'll be some kind of, you can't have these kinds of variety in there. But nowadays, the basis of, you know, most conversations, you know, how do you say, is generally sexual. So how is it going to go? But, no, you can, but what do you mean by friendship? What kind of friendship? What's friend is what we're defining. Friends means someone who's there for you. You know, so is this boy, girl, friend? Is it that they're there if something goes wrong, they're there to support and help and just help them get through it? Or it's just they're there just to have some fun? Whether you put boys and girls together, it's always, you know, has some element of fun to it. You know what I'm saying? So it's not necessarily, in most cases, friendship. It's just some way to kind of taste the outer edges of the conjugal relationship. Right? You know, either you don't have one, or you're bored with the one you have. Is that okay? Yes. How do you deal with a situation where you feel that the leader is overusing their authority, or demanding too much? That's the question. Discuss with them. You have to discuss, because the point is then if you're going to say the relationship is too much or demanding too much, you have to be able to actually explain what it is they're demanding too much. Right? Is it actually the activity that is too much? When physically can't do it, or mentally or intellectually can't do it, right? Or is it just a matter of you don't really like the attitude? You know what I'm saying? Because even a simple thing, if the attitude's wrong, one's not very inclined. Well, if their attitude's right, even the impossible you're ready to do. Does that make sense? Yeah. So one has to see what actually it is. And then if that's there, discuss. But you have to know what it is. Don't go into the room not knowing what it is. Otherwise, then you might be disappointed in the interactions. Okay.
Yes. How should women deal with men? How should men deal with women?
How should women deal with men, and how should men deal with women? So what is, when you say in a relationship, what is this a?
Marriage.
In a marriage. Okay, so you're taking marriage as a relationship. Okay, how should they do the relationship? Okay, so it could have been a relationship or B relationship, C. So you're taking A meaning it's the first.
I have a problem with spelling, so A becomes the...
Okay, no, it's okay. But I'm just saying. I was wondering what it means. A means just one out of many, or if A means like, and you have options A, B, C, and so A is the top one. What is the... A bit specific, how should they, meaning? Means as in the way of responsibilities or obligations, or?
In terms of understanding, say, the psychology and mental workup of each other.
Okay, what is the psychology and mental, you know, this mental psychology of male and female in a male-female relationship? John, you got about 3 hours? Okay. I don't think we have, because I think lunch has happened. Okay, so as a basic principle, then the main principle is going to be, how do you say, is in the means your combination. The environment of the women is emotions. But emotions are going to be expressed through actions happening in a situation. Right? So that means the woman, to complete her life, she needs situations and others performing actions which will cause the emotions she wants to taste. Right? So, but emotions, and that's her field. Right? The area that's not her field so much is situations. Right? Like that. For the men, then...
Situations, what does that mean?
Situations, what does that mean? Means your mechanical environment. Does that make sense?
Can you say that thing about the structure of the home and everything is...
A mechanical environment, like the picture on the wall. That's a mechanical environment. Okay, photographer. Okay, now I got it. Okay, so you're working the visual field here. How to say this? Maybe give an example of something else. let's say you have a machine. Man likes machines. Machines do things and get things done. Right? Men like to get things done. Women like to experience things. You know, you understand? Man wants to accomplish something. Woman wants to experience something. That would be, that may be where we can start as the basis. Okay? So the man feels it's perfect if the machine has been operated perfectly and gotten its perfect result. Woman, the machine and its result are only as important as the experience they can generate. It generates that? Nice. It doesn't generate it? Who cares? Right? So that's why you can see some of the times the women are very expert in dealing with machineries and sometimes not. So when they're expert at dealing with the machineries, they know how to get the result you want. You know what I'm saying? Well, for the woman, she'll deal with the machinery, gets the experience you want. Right? So it's like, let us take something that would be very common. Let's say something like interior decorating. So the man is looking at the interior decorating because it's all the science of the colors, the balance, and everything like that. You create it, and then it's got this balanced atmosphere, so that's good. It looks good. It's aesthetic. You've dealt with the science in an artful way. You've gotten that. But it's the accomplishment of it what the man is happy about. Right? So he's accomplished this thing. They take a picture. It goes in a magazine. Right? For the woman, she will create that, do the interior decorating for the experience that it will generate. So she'll work on it until the experience she wants, she gets. Right? Well, the man will continue with it as long as he feels that science is not, the operation of it is not complete. Right? So there's going to be something observable he wants, but it's going to be something experiential that she wants. The result and process, the process gets results. Results come from process. That's why women are always active. And that's why women always expect men to be active. No process, no result. Man sitting on couch reading newspaper is not doing anything. Therefore, for them, he's being lazy. Not lazy that he's not getting something done. He was out working all day. He's making money and this and that. You know, he's a member of the Rotary Club. He's this, that, so. But the point is he's lazy in the interaction with his wife. Right? So they have a relationship, a husband-wife. So what's work for? Generate facilities for the husband and wife. So he's generated facilities, but then he just sits around in the facilities and doesn't interact with the wife. So then she gets frustrated. Oh, you just sit around all day. He's thinking, I've just been working all day. What's her problem? Her point is, you're not interacting with her. Right? So the point is if there's no action, there's no reaction. Does that make sense? But for the man, you do something, and then it creates more environment. You understand? So man takes things, moves them around, creates a better environment. That's his world. Well, woman, that's only worthwhile if it generates an experience. Right? So the man thinks, I did something, I accomplished something, so work done. The woman is, if it doesn't generate an experience, it doesn't have any value. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Like, man has something he likes. It works. Let's say you got a present from somebody, and you had a good relationship, and the item you like, and it does nice work. You know, like let's say a pen. It's a nice pen. It works nice. You really like it. Then let's say your relationship with that friend breaks down, or even becomes inimical. The man will still use the pen, right? Because it works, it's good, it's part of his scene. But for a woman, the pen represents relationship. And relationships mean experience, right? And so if the relationship breaks down with that friend, she won't use the pen. But if it really gets bad, she'll throw it away. Even though it's valuable. The man will go, why are you throwing that away? It's so valuable. No, it's useless. Why? It's useless because it doesn't generate positive experiences or positive, or let's say, not positive, but compatible or usable experiences. Does that make sense? So the point is if man has to understand it's the experience the woman's looking for, not the efficiency. So, and in that, there's the experience of the process and the experience of the result. Man will go through anything in the process as long as he gets the result, put up with anything, right? But woman won't put up with everything in the process. The process also has to be producing a positive result. Does that make sense? That's the point. The man will go out to work, he hates the work, hates everybody there, but he gets his money. So end of the day, party ball, he's fine. The woman won't like it. She doesn't. It's not a good. She won't want to do it. Does that make sense? So that means when the man's dealing with the wife, then he has to think of the experience that is being generated by the interaction, right? He comes home, you know, and then how do you say? He said, you know, home, you know, how's your day been? Yeah, great, you know, and all this. And then she's, you know, saying, yeah, you know, I was thinking, you know, maybe, you know, we eat here every night. You know, why don't we go out? Right? So you're already, that's an interaction, right? So man has to remember it's an interaction. And there's a result coming from that, an experience. So then he clicks into efficiency mode. Okay, going out. Then, well, we could go here. You know, where do you want to go? You know, it's not a matter of where do you want to go. It's not a matter of that. It's part of the experience. So there's a difference on, oh, okay, where do you want to go? You know, it's like, what do you mean, where do I want to go? This is an experience. This isn't an efficiency. Yeah, she wants to be that, of course. But then he's saying, where do you want to go? I said, what are you thinking about? Or, you know, like that. So she may have an idea, or she wants something new and spontaneous, or wants it to come from you. She just wants to spend the time. You know, it says, well, I don't know, you know, and then the guy says, you know, well, make up your mind, or, you know, why are you wasting my time? This kind of, you understand? You're not dealing with the experience of what is, she just wants to interact and come to this point of going out and doing something together. Right? So then the man is keeping that mood. In other words, what mood she first generated, whatever you taught should enhance that mood and move that forward. It shouldn't change the flavor. Women get angry when you change the flavor. Right? Like that. Oh, we could go here. Oh, we went there last time. Okay, what about this? You know, she just wants to do something different or something. Or wants you to come up with it. And you're just thinking, I'm so tired. Why don't you just tell me what you want? But it's not a matter. It's a matter of that sharing, that interacting. So the man will say something that even though the words may be correct, the mood is wrong. So it changes the experience, so she gets upset. Or it may be the right move, but he's using the wrong words. You know, it's like, hey, why don't we go up? We could go to that place, you know, where we went with Linda last time. And it, you know, it's like, oh, so you like Linda, huh? You know, and then, no, I was talking about the restaurant. So, you know, but why did you mention Linda? He's like, he said, well, what do you mean? You know, the mood was right, but the words are wrong. You know, it's like, she's thinking you and her, and then you bring up another lady. You know, why did you bring up another lady? You know, what's the, you know, so then, now you've changed the mood, you can't get tricked. Now you have to deal with that changed mood. No, just maybe just say, that's stupid anyway, you know. What about this place, you know? You know what I'm saying? You have to do something. In other words, the generation of the experience is what means the man likes to feel that he's expert at taking dead matter and transforming it into a form of dead matter that's usable. Right? But he has to start learning that dead matter generates experience and feelings and emotions. So he has to become able to work with that. But not as a trick, but as actually sensitive to the other person's need as a partnership. Otherwise, then that's the thing is the men like to read some books, talk to friends, get a few tricks. Well, if your wife says this, you say that, you know. And it might work once. And then after that, it won't work. And the man's thinking, you take a nail and you hit it with a hammer, it works. You come back 10 years later, you put the nail, you hit it with a hammer, it works. Come back after 1,000 years, you put the nail, hit it with a hammer, it works. But that's a nail and hammer. It's not a woman. Right? Women are unlimited variety. That's their nature. Men are consistent. Women are variety. You understand? So the woman expects the man to always be consistent, but to be intelligent, and that consistency should be always presented in a fresh way. Right? Does that make sense? But the woman herself is always going to be different. Does that make sense? If she's always looking the same day in, day out, everything's like that, that means the husband is bored. And so she's responding like that. You understand? Because the action of the husband generates a particular mood. If she feels she can adjust that mood, you know, so it makes for a nice interaction, then it works good. If she feels she can't adjust it, either, you know, too much ego, or he doesn't have any sensitivity, or is completely unaware, you know, or self-centered, after a while they give up, and then they just go become the same. Then the man thinks, well, this is boring. No, he's boring. That makes some sense. So that's the point that we were saying before, that the men have to become sensitive to what's going on around them. Otherwise, they won't know what it is. Was it the word? Was it the mood? Was it the situation? What was it that was the problem? You know? And it's not that, you know, one time you said, you know, something about Linda and then it was fine. She was enthusiastic. The next time you say it doesn't work because everything's changing. Her relationship with her relationship with you, is she feeling secure? She doesn't mind it. She's feeling insecure, she doesn't like it. She has a good relationship with that other lady, then it's great. She doesn't have, then it's not. So you can't say, well, I can't keep up with that. No, you have to keep up with that. Man claims to be intelligent, keep up. You know what I'm saying? Man saying, you know, women should tell me, should inform all this and that, but that means that she's doing all the work. So this is what we meant before when we say if the mood's, you're enthusiastic about something, then the impossible works. So this is the impossible. You know what I'm saying? Conquering an empire, that is mechanics. Peacefully living with a woman, that's the impossible. You understand? So, the point is the man has to put in that much effort. Then he gets back that much result. Right? Man puts in no emotional effort, he gets back no emotional result. He puts in the effort, he gets back the results. It's not a matter of mechanics. It's personal. Yeah, that's the point. One has to learn to be personal. You know, and ultimately, this is God's person. God has a relationship with everybody. He's considered. He's arranging for each and every living entity according to their need and desire. So if we want to function in that environment, we have to also be able to be able to deal with that. Right? No, God is the man. You're the woman. Right? Because who's it all about? It's all about God. Right now you're sitting here and doing what you want. You know, you want lunch. It gets, you know, it happens. You want to breathe. You want to go out. You want to get married. You want to have kids. So it's all about God or it's all about you? Yeah, so what is that? What position does that put him in? Yes, that's the point. Because the masculine principle means that according to the need of the feminine principle, it acts. Right? You know a bit of grammar? A little bit of grammar. Okay, so you have the subject and object, or the nominative and accusative, whatever you call it. Okay, so you have one noun that is connected to another noun by a verb. Right? So that means the first noun, or the subject, is the active principle. That's the male principle. The one that the verb is being applied towards is the feminine principle. So it means the man is performing the action, but the action must be according to the need or mood of the feminine. This is the balance. The man thinks, it's what I want to do, how I want to do it, and then I'll be a man. No, it's how, what you want to do, how they want to do it. That makes you a man. So all this thing, the man's, I feel emasculated, I don't feel in control. That means they don't know what a man is. Yeah, that's a woman who writes on heart. You know what I'm saying? Huh? No, generally they have bush hair. Some of them have one hair. Generally the one on the motorcycle is the man of the relationship. Maybe we're thinking of different ladies on the motorbike. I'm thinking of Berlin.
Is it so that the only relationships without any problems can be between the soul and God?
What does he mean by problems?
Different problems that are there in the human relationships.
But human includes the spiritual world. Because if you have a head, two arms, and two legs, right? and you practice the Vedic culture, and that's human. Right? So, therefore, the human life here is a reflection of the human life there. So it means the point you make about the only relationship with no problem is with God. The principle is basically right, but you need to broaden it just a little bit to make it full. Right? The broadening would mean is no relationship where God's not the center of it or part of it. That won't work. You understand? Because God defines relationships. So you follow His directions on it, then you can have nice relationships with anyone. Because you're following the laws of God. Does that make sense?
None of us is without any sin.
Yeah, we're not without sin, but it doesn't mean you can't get along. Because the point is when you get to the spiritual world, there's still devotees there. There's still other people there. So the relationships are based with God at the center, so everything works nice. If you have a pond, it's very calm, perfectly flat water. And you take one rock and you throw it into the pond, it'll create circles, and all those circles will expand until those little ripples go across the whole pond, but it'll still be smooth and there'll be no disturbance. Right? If you take many rocks and throw it into the pond, all those circles will bump into each other and it'll become, you know, very disturbed. Right? That's because there's all those different centers. Well, when we think I'm the center of the universe, it's a problem. Because each person thinks they're the center of the universe. But if you have one center of the universe, then everybody else in the universe can go around that center. So the only one center is God. Because He's the source of everything and everyone. Does that make sense? So if one can see God's, you know, instruction and Him in everything, then you have a good relationship with anyone. Does that make sense? Okay, one person's having a problem, they're speaking about it, and the other person's listening. You know, so is it that the male-female principle in that the person who has the problem is in the female position, the one that doesn't have the problem and is trying to help is in the male position? Yes. See, the masculine and feminine principle simply means what's the active, which is the passive. Right? It doesn't mean masculine has to be anatomically correct. You know, looks like a male. Because otherwise, like the parent and the child, the parent's in the masculine position. And the child's in the feminine position. Right? And now, notice this. The parent's in the male position, which means they're the authority and the controller of the situation. But all of their action is about what? The kid, the feminine position. That's the masculine position. So when the husband, whatever he does in that is in consideration of the wife and what works and makes her happy, that's the actual masculine position. So generally what happens is women aren't satisfied because their men don't act like men, they act like women. Because the man wants it to be all about him. Point is if the man is doing everything about the woman, then if she's going to interact, how's she going to do? She's going to do it towards about the man. If the man deals everything for himself, she'll respond by doing everything for herself. So the man establishes the flavor of interaction. The female then, within that, creates the variety. Right? So if someone is having a problem, then you should be listening to their problem, seeing what the mood, and then seeing what is the point you can catch. And then from there, expand to make them feel comfortable. So in other words, you have to see that they're comfortable, they feel secure, their identity is very clear, right? Then from there, you can move it into something else. If you haven't established their identity and make them feel secure, then it doesn't matter what you say about it. You know, all the philosophy, oh, it's just karma, and why do you care for all these envious people, and all that, but you haven't dealt with them yet. Right? You have to deal with their position, how it is, you know, so this person shouldn't have done that, of course it's karma, but they shouldn't do these things, and this and that, you know, you were right in this and that, or however it is. You have to find something that they feel secure. They're not secure, it doesn't matter. right? Because why are they upset? Because they actually, the position that they would see themselves in doesn't exist. So they feel insecure. So yeah, does that make sense? So they're in that emotional position, you have to create security to make balance. Right? And then once they're secure, then they want to do something to create, to generate an experience. Right? So that's the dynamic between those two principles. You know, to experience something, you have to control something. If you're in control, you want to experience. So that's the dynamic between these two.
Okay. We spoke about the relationship between men and women outside the, in the marriage.
In the marriage.
So if you take another relationship, men...
Wait a minute. Okay, yeah.
So because we are supposed to accept all other ladies or relate to them as our mothers. So
right.
That means that we...
And you don't like your mother, so you don't know what to do.
I would like to understand how does it work, because that means I'm in feminine position and they are in masculine position. So how does...
You're talking about relationship means mother means... In other words, mother, there's no question of conjugal relationship, right? So then, and mother, as you see, the element of, you know, the kindness, the nourishing, all these different things. So the point is that the son dealing with the mother, in this case, what you're taking, then the son's in the masculine position, the mother's in the feminine. Does that make sense? The daughter and the father, right? The father's in the masculine position, the daughter's in the feminine. Then she grows up, she gets married, it's husband and wife. She's in the feminine position, the husband's in the masculine position. Then when she gets older, then the son is taking care of her, he's in the masculine position, she's in the feminine. The point is that the brahmacharis deal in such a way that, you know, according to the mood of girls, how you would deal with them so that, you know, that you see that things are fine. You understand? Basic principle is how much do you have to interact? Not so much, but when you do, then it has to be proper. You know what I'm saying? You're serving prasad to the ladies. So since you're serving prasad, what's the important principle? To satisfy the person. So what does that mean? You serve it properly, as they like. You don't just hear the brahmachari and the line and all that. That's not going to make anybody happy. Even the men won't be happy. The brahmacharis won't care, but, you know. Their point is when there's food on their plate, fine. You know, but the lady, you know, a little bit, or she doesn't know she wants that preparation, so you give a little bit, then you come around, make sure that if they like it, they get more. So you're considerate, you're sensitive to the situation. That's the point, you're just sensitive to it. It doesn't mean you get involved in all this thing. That's not your business. As a brahmachari, that's not your business. You understand? Husband and wife, there's a sense of ownership. But in this case, there's no sense of ownership. So it's just culture and behavior. You understand? Because the point is a brahmachari, you know, an actual brahmachari can deal properly with women because he has nothing to gain from them. The point is what makes, yeah, see, is for the woman, then their nature is they are dependent upon other things for their satisfaction. Does that make sense? Means, in other words, if the environment's right, the activity in the environment's right, the results come properly, then they get the proper experience. But without proper environments, without proper actions and all that, they won't be happy. You understand? That's the feminine nature. the masculine nature, even if there's no situation, no action, no result, he can be satisfied. That's something that women don't have. That's the uniqueness between the two natures. Women's nature is always like that. The man's nature, he can interact with that, but he can also be independent. You understand? So the respectable point of the brahmachari for the women is that independence, that he can deal with women, but he doesn't need them. That doesn't annoy women. They respect that. Right? What they don't like is brahmacharis who say they don't need women and deal with women badly. Because every woman knows that brahmachari is not actually a brahmachari. He needs to be married. But he's a bozo. No one would want to marry him. But he should be married. You understand? So the point is the real nice thing of brahmachari, if there's no women to deal with, he's comfortable. If he has to deal with them, he's comfortable. Because he has nothing to gain. And women respect that. They won't bother that brahmachari. Women don't bother nice thinker brahmacharis. Maybe a bad woman would, but any nice woman would never bother a nice thinker brahmachari. Because they know, the brahmacharis, they respect that. They like that. It's a power. Renunciation, actual renunciation, is an opulence. Women like opulence. So renunciation, not, it's an opulence. They like it. They respect it. But it has to be real. But instead they have a sixth sense about that. So they can tell. Yeah. So in other words, it's just, what is the appropriate way to deal in the situation? You deal with, you know, consideration. You do that, that's all that's being asked. The women are only asking that you're considerate. You have a certain, all these group of devotees to go on the bus, you know, and that, and but there's a few extra devotees, so it's not that all the brahmacharis pile on and just say, ah, the women, this and that's not our business, and drive off and leave them there. They don't know what to do. Right? Consideration is put the ladies on the bus, if there's any room for them, put them on the bus, and the rest of the guys are tough enough to figure out how to get home. That's all that's being asked. Simple.
So there's a question here.
There's a question here. Yes. To act in? To act in some field of activity. Isn't that what women always do? In other words, the man has that basic environment that he creates. But then how the particular manifestation, the particular activities or expression of that environment, that's what the woman does. Right? So she controls that aspect. You know, he provides the house, but what goes on in the house, that's what the woman does. You know what I'm saying? The man provides the money, but what you eat for dinner, that's what the woman does. So she controls that aspect. If she feels that the man's not doing something that she feels that would be the appropriate thing for the husband to be doing, then she'll find a way to get it across. Say it, or, you know, some other thing. So you can do it from the passive expecting he's going to do it, or you can temporarily take the active position to get them to understand. And then once they take it up, then you go back to the past. Does this make sense? Does that answer your question? You understand? Because if you have something very specific, then is it still quite general? It's just like this. And what the you know, it's like the place has, you know, needs to be repaired or something like that. So then the wife can either say, you know, the place is falling apart, can you fix it? Or she can say, you know, I just went to someone out of their house that's so nice and so nicely taken care of, you know, ours isn't at all. Like, you know, some way she's trying to spark him to do something. So that's what women do. So we're discussing with him is that if there's no activity, there's no result. And that, and activity and result give the experience. So if the man is inactive, then there's nothing to experience for the lady. So the lady is always creating opportunities for interaction, for activity. Does this make sense? Does that answer it or not? Because I'm saying, you were asking if the woman can do that. As far as I know, that's all they do. Whether the guy responds or not, that's another question. Okay, that's another question. Did you try plates? You know, he's sitting on the couch reading his newspaper, not listening to you, and suddenly a plate goes flying by and smashes on the wall. The point is you just have to make it very clear that this is his position in the relationship. He can't be lazy if he wants it to happen. The basic principle is women do not like lazy men. Because women are always active. So if the man wants to be the woman's equal, he has to be active. So what to do, I can't say. I don't know who the man is. He could go up and just, while he's there, rip the newspaper out of his hand and say, listen, you know, whatever it is, you have to find some way to get through. You know, tell them, okay, you know, I need the house to be like this. You're not willing to do it. You need food. I'm not going to do it. You cook your own food. I'll fix the house. You cook dinner. I'll fix the window. So if you want me to cook dinner, you fix the window. You know, and if you don't want to fix the window, hey, I'll fix it. But then, no dinner. You know, you have to find some way to get through it. Or tell a friend, maybe they can explain it to him. Does that make sense? In other words, people, the biggest difficulty in disciplining someone that they don't like is a restriction or reduction in their facilities. You know, in their freedoms and these kind of things. So, control that. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is you can only try your best. But use your intelligence. Women are 4 times more clever, so find a way to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? You know, if it doesn't work, then, you know, the next day he comes home and you're there banging on the window and fixing it all like that. When he asks about dinner, he says, what dinner? I'm fixing the window. When I finish, then we'll talk about dinner. You know, but I've been at work today, I'm hungry. I've been fixing the window all day. You know what I'm saying? If you really want to have fun, don't respond to his anger. You know, just go ahead and do as if everything's perfectly normal. You're fixing the window. You know, I'm screaming, do all the lights, slam the door, this, that, and that. You know what I'm saying? You know, in other words, does that make it? In other words, if you're dependent upon him, he won't do the things that he should because of, you know, he's comfortable in your dependence upon him without reciprocating by taking care of your needs. Then you take care of your needs and put up a front as if you're perfectly fine doing it. It's perfectly fine like that. and he wants to be involved in not who cares. And then that puts him in, he's not the, you know, in the position of being me. It's, you know, his feeling and sense of I'm the provider, I'm the this, I'm the that, and so therefore that makes him feel I'm the male in the relationship. It takes that away. And you just do it yourself, pleasantly, nicely, so he can't get upset. You know, he can't use all varieties of expletives that to deal with, you know, the canine species. You know, you can't say any of that because you're dealing very nicely. Try. All these things work temporarily. It's just a matter of whether you can kickstart it. You know? It's like the car is supposed to drive you. You get in the car, you turn it on, it goes. Right? But if you get in the car and turn it on, it doesn't go, you push it. You understand? But it should be trying to start. Prabhupada ki, Sarvika Bhaktivinda ki, Jainatai Gaudapin.
Vatimini Pura Maharaj ki.